And welcome to Alderaan Places,
the podcast that celebrates Star Wars year-round.
I doubt we're the only podcast that celebrates.
We are a podcast. We don't dedicate our Star Wars fandom to.
We don't limit
May
it
4th.
To one day a year.
Yeah, yeah,
that's right. Anyway. Well, welcome to another episode of Alderaan Places.
Yeah.
Tyler and I are recording today, and we are joined by special guest Mrs. Taz, my wife, Darby.
Mrs. Taz.
Mrs. Taz. Yes. Yeah, I guess.
Well, you know, same difference.
Yeah.
My better half. So if you've ever listened before and been like, wow, it sounds like he's running on half a brain, and here's the other half. So maybe some of my thoughts might be a little more coherent today. So
wish we had a sound clip of Mrs. Nesbitt from Toy Story. That's what I would have used as the intro.
Well,
and we're joined.
I wish I had that on the soundboard. You'll begin to sense a theme on our soundboard before long. Because as you know, we've been doing this new bit where we like to just try a random soundboard out every time, a new one. So
yeah, keep things spontaneous, you know.
Yeah, and we don't even know what all the effects are when we get started. So, and like that, we don't even know necessarily what all the categories we're going to talk about today are.
Yeah, at
least Darby and I don't. We're letting Tyler lead the way.
Keep fingers crossed there. No.
And also apologies if you hear me sniffling or coughing. I am a little allergy-y right now.
It's okay.
So
Texas weather, you know.
Right. Oh, man. What's up with this, like, crazy hot one day, and then the next day it's in, like, the 50s?
Man, I don't know.
Texas.
It's a mess. Dude.
Oh, Texas. Come back to Texas.
It's not the same since you ran away.
Good times.
Thanks, Darby.
Good one. All right.
Anyway, so, I guess we should mention that Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 just released.
Yeah, it dropped yesterday.
At the time of recording this.
Yeah, I caught it Thursday. We will definitely talk about it. Just
yes.
Just waiting for these two to see it.
So Darby and I have not had the chance to see it. We are going to see it tomorrow with my family, so that's going to be fun. And then, yes, shortly after that, we're definitely going to get together and talk about it because, how can you not?
I'm definitely going to go see it again.
Yeah.
When I saw it Thursday night, I was in the front row.
And I feel like I'll probably want to see it again after the first time as well.
I already downloaded the soundtrack, so I'm going to be jamming to that, you know, for the next few
months. We be jamming?
Yes. I'm so excited that Kurt Russell is in this movie.
Oh,
it's
my
just
God,
awesome.
Yes.
I love Kurt Russell.
Who doesn't love Kurt Russell?
For real. I don't know anyone that doesn't like him. He's like Tom Selleck, you know. Can't just not appreciate him.
Did you know Tom Selleck has an avocado farm?
What?
Yeah, like a 60-acre avocado farm.
That's,
like
that's
what
amazing.
He retired to.
Oh, that's beautiful. I have so much respect for that man already, but now even more.
Right?
Well, sometimes these buttons are mislabeled. Anywho.
It's funny that you mentioned that, because there was a segment that I wanted to start using. I just haven't done my research yet, where Taz and I are going to start, like, telling each other things that we may not know.
Just
finding top things. So that's good, because I definitely did not know that.
And Darby brings it in with, like, hey, did you know this?
Yeah. It's definitely something I want to start doing. I think it'll be good for audience participation, too.
Yeah.
Start throwing
yeah.
things at us that we may not know.
It's time to talk about what we've learned today. It's a VeggieTales episode now.
Oh, yes.
VeggieTales.
We try to have silly songs with Larry, you know?
Have I ever told you how I feel about my nose? Oh, look at the time. I could go on VeggieTales ranting forever.
Same, man.
But we can jump right in to the show. And
yeah, let's go ahead and do
where
that.
Where are we starting?
Okay, so hung out with Steven the other day, and he...
Oh, yes, we had the live you guys did the live episode.
Yeah, that was the day that we did our live broadcast for Superhero Day.
And I was commenting on it from afar.
It was nice, though. It was nice.
Yeah, because it popped up on my phone. It was like, hey, Alderaan Places is live now. And I was like, what? All right.
That one went better than my Star Wars Day live video. little interaction. I definitely planned ahead for that when I was so excited and... Didn't have as much interaction that time, which is kind of a bummer, but we're definitely going to do more live broadcasts, and it'll be better. We're even going to try and do some during our episodes.
Yeah, that's the plan. We were going to start trying to do that tonight, but we had some issues with the camera, so it got late, and we were just like, you know what, we'll just record.
Yeah, but so that day we were hanging out, Steven and I were just kind of going about, and He was like, do you ever remember, actually we were at lunch when you mentioned this, he goes, do you remember that time? He was like, you came up with a story, and it was about someone in the Justice League was being controlled or impersonated by someone else and went rogue and started killing members, or killing, like causing the members to fight each other. And some of the members were already dead at this point. Specifically like Green Lantern, and his ring went to go find a new host, and that host ended up being Jim Gordon. So Jim Gordon is the new Green Lantern. And
yes,
Batman has to.
We had such an amazing victory yesterday. Incredible.
Oh, my gosh.
That's how I feel.
I wasn't ready for that.
Jim Gordon having the Green Lantern ring.
Yes. And then so basically all of this causes Batman to form like a new like force. But it's only people in the Bat family. So he's got like Red Robin, Nightwing.
Yeah.
You know, Damian, Batgirl, Huntress. It's crazy.
Nobody like, can do that like me.
These are perfect. So yeah, it was like weird because apparently, like in our like early high school days, Steven and I, all we did was write stories. We just come up with our own things, but we never actually like put it on paper. We always just came up with it off the top of our head.
Yeah,
and
always the issue.
He was telling me about this, like I was supposed to know about it. And he's like, do you remember like coming up with this? And I was like, no, to be honest, like I don't remember ever writing that. And he was like, you definitely did. Like you told me about this, like how you wanted this to be a story. And it just kind of like baffled me that like I wouldn't remember something that good of an, like I wouldn't remember that good of an idea, especially if I came up with it. And yeah, so now I'm trying to like, I wrote down everything he told me, and I'm going to actually try to like start forming it into a story because I don't remember it at all. It just sounds too good to be true, honestly, to not already be a story.
Absolutely.
Thank you, President Trump.
I don't even have to actually respond to you anymore. I can just talk solely through Trump.
This is
going
to be such an interesting podcast.
Let's see what President Trump has to say about the latest episode.
Wrong. Wrong.
Oh. But no, I love that theory. I mean, I think Jim Gordon is a Green Lantern, man.
That I was already sold on that. Yeah, like, and I, the more I thought about it, I, because from the way it sounds, if I did come up with this when I was younger, I definitely didn't know about half the heroes I know about now. And,
right.
You know, heroes and villains, you know, so I didn't know about like Gorilla Grodd, or I didn't know enough about Brainiac, you know. So like now if I go back, now that I have some of the prior knowledge, of what I came up with, I feel like I could broaden that and make it a huge, you know, huge story. Correction. But yeah, I just thought it was really funny that Steven remembered it way better than I did. And he was just so set. He was like, you definitely came up with this. Like I remember it. And I was like, well, I'm glad you remember because I definitely do not.
Glad somebody remembers it.
Yeah.
See, that's why I keep Darby around, so she can remember all the things I say.
But most
of them aren't good things, though. I'll be like, hey, didn't I have a good idea the other day? And she'll be like, you had an idea.
You got to write everything down nowadays. I have to, yeah. Or I forget.
Right. I'm just going to start dictating to my phone all the time.
Yeah.
Captain's log, stardate.
Yes.
7543.
Please start a stardate.
8675309.
Oh, that'd be great.
Jenny.
See, we have to like, we have to write all of our ideas down because all of our ideas collectively are just great.
That's true.
And hopefully we will get more of our ideas down in the near future.
I went to an Ivy League school. I'm very highly educated. I know words. I have the best words. But there's no better word than stupid. Right? There is none. There is none.
I thought this was going to be Trump, like, talking up our words, but I think it turned into Trump was just bad-mouthing us. Some of these buttons are a little misleading, because, like, you know, it says best words. I'm expecting a bite that says best words.
A Trump soundboard should be misleading, because he is misleading.
That's true. We never know what Trump's going to say to what we have to say.
Yeah.
We know it's going to be huge, though.
I don't know what he's going to say, period.
Fair enough. Yeah, the, oh. We have to joke about it to keep it from hurting.
Yeah. Man, recently, I know all of us are kind of behind on The Flash, but...
Oh, yeah.
Recently, this week, they revealed who Savitar was.
Oh.
And in my own head, I'm just trying to think of who I would want Savitar to be.
John Cena?
John Cena, yeah, that is a good one. I hope that when they take off the mask or however that happens, I hope it's just like, I don't know, completely misleading in its own way. Like, I would like to see, like, a Scooby-Doo villain under that mask and have to take that mask off. And it's
Professor Hyde White.
Red herring.
Batman? Forever red. Take off Batman's mask, and it's not Batman.
It's Robin.
It's Robin. Take off Robin's mask.
What are you doing, chum?
Alfred.
Alfred. That theory that Alfred's the Joker. Every time that comes up, I'm just like, ooh.
I don't like that one as much as Thomas Wayne being Batman and like Martha being the Joker.
That is a fun story.
I love Martha being the Joker.
It's crazy.
It's awesome.
Crazy. Anyway, was there anything more to your fan theory? We got a little sidetrack.
No, that's the end of that story. There was another fan theory I considered talking about, but I don't know. That one's a little bit longer. It's about Superman Returns. Everyone remembers that movie, right? Because I definitely do.
Yes.
I watched it for the first time not too long ago, and while I watched it, I kind of just came up with my own version of the movie that I would have liked to have seen. And I think I liked my idea a little bit more. I don't know how well you guys remember Superman Returns or the story.
I don't.
Somewhat.
To briefly summarize it, I guess, it falls in continuation with the Christopher Reeves Superman.
Yes.
So, mm-hmm. And Quest for Peace, I think, was the last one he did.
Yeah, I believe so.
He leaves at the end and goes back to Krypton to try and find out if there's any more to it. And so in this one, Brandon Routh is Superman. And
see, I liked Brandon Roth as Superman, just as a side note. I thought he did great.
I definitely didn't think I would like him, but I think now that I've grown to love him as Captain Atom,
I think that certainly helps.
I definitely liked him as Superman. I didn't like his Clark Kent, but I did like his Superman. So basically, in Superman Returns, Superman comes back from Krypton, and everything that's happening now... Superman's just been gone all this time, and Lex Luthor has just kind of been out in hiding, really. He hasn't done a lot, and he finds out that Kryptonite, maybe not Kryptonite, but pieces of the Fortress of Solitude can grow once they're, like, submerged or something in water, and so he basically wants to make his own island.
Okay.
Of like his own Fortress of Solitude, kind of. But he uses kryptonite with it to grow like
a kryptonite Fortress of Solitude?
Yeah, a kryptonite island type thing. It's really weird.
Lays with kryptonite, so Superman gets all like, when he gets close. Makes sense. All right.
Lois.
I'll buy it.
Lois is married now with a kid.
Yes, to James Marsden.
Yes, which I did like.
I love James Marsden, and he's just forever the other guy in like every movie.
I know. Even in X-Men.
Well,
he was dating Jean Grey, but somehow he was the other guy because
he's
Wolverine.
The only one who ever actually dates her.
Yeah, and even then, it doesn't feel like they're in a relationship because Jean is in love with Logan.
Is she?
I mean, in the first movie, she's definitely dating Cyclops, but then they like build this weird romance.
Yeah,
between them,
it's ow, a little strange.
Yeah, so basically, Superman comes back. There's a plane crash and Lois is on it, and he comes in and saves the plane from crashing.
You know, classic Superman.
Classic Superman, yeah. And so it's just kind of weird. In the midst of this, Lois wrote an article called Why the World Doesn't Need Superman.
Oh, I do remember
and
that, yeah.
It's like a Pulitzer-winning article. And what I like about it is the fact that, like, I just like that title, like, Why the World Doesn't Need Superman. And I think the movie could have played off of that subtle statement right there. And, I mean, Bryan Singer kind of did, but not well enough. And basically, Superman realizes he's still in love with Lois, and that's where the movie kind of loses it for me, because it turns into, like, a love story more than a Superman story. I remember this theory, or like my alternate storyline for this movie pretty well. I'm a little rusty on it, so bear with me. But there's a lot of things I would keep in that movie that I really liked, and like I just built off of those points. Superman basically leaves, and everyone in Metropolis is like fed up. They feel abandoned by Superman, causing Lois to write this article, Why the World Doesn't Need Superman. Like, he leaves them, the people who depended on him the most and looked up to him as their hero and their savior. And then, you know, like, there's still problems in the world. There's still things that are happening in Metropolis, and Superman's not there because he chose Krypton over them. He comes back, you know, still saves the day at some point, and basically everyone's like, why are you back? You know, like, what made you want to come back now when you've been gone this long? And so he's kind of rejected by the people, and it causes him to like doubt himself as a hero because he feels like he's let them down. All in the meanwhile, Lex Luthor has still been experimenting with like the pieces of the fortress and kryptonite, uh-huh. and tries to clone Superman in a way. Okay. He also like is trying to get DNA from Superman as well, like blood, and to create this clone. But in the midst of this, it all goes wrong, and this is he creates Doomsday instead. And Lex Luthor hasn't really been in hiding like he was in the actual movie. He's more of like the mayor of Metropolis, or just like a high like government authority position, and he's part of the reason why people don't want Superman. He's caused them to like deny Superman and reject him and like to turn against him and wanting to believe in him anymore. And so, you know, not even Lois wants anything to do with him, and Doomsday unleashes himself and he breaks free from the lab where he's being experimented on, and that causes Superman to fight Doomsday, you know, and basically like he tells the people before this that he would do anything to like win their trust back and to show them that he still cares, you know, that he's sorry that he turned his back on them, and dies for them in a way, you know.
Yeah.
And so in its own way, it's like the Superman Returns, but it's also Death of Superman, because the thing is, Superman Returns was the like after child or after the like basically the I don't know, it's what they came up with after the fact that the idea of doing a Tim Burton Superman got rejected when Nicolas Cage was going to be Superman and Kevin Smith was going to he wrote a screenplay for it, like The Death of Superman Lives or something like that.
Yeah,
that. So basically Superman Returns is the aftermath of that. It's what they came up with and made happen. But yeah, I don't know. That's just kind of what I came up with. There's a little bit more to it, you know, a little more symbolism that I wanted to add.
Yeah, no, to me it sounds like what could have potentially been a better version of Superman Returns as well as a better version of Batman v Superman.
Yeah.
That's true.
I just think that you can't put too much in a movie, you know? Like,
yeah.
You could still keep little subplot details and just little small things, but you have to have, like, an overlining story that carries the movie, you know? And I think if they had built more off of Why the World Doesn't Need Superman, then, you know, they could have gotten something better. But it had too much of, like, Superman trying to win back Lois and...
Yeah.
Trying to continue to carry the legacy of what Christopher Reeves did as Superman.
And yeah, that was the big thing. They should have gone for a reboot instead of trying to continue it after that long.
Yeah.
I mean, because it had been, what, 20 years since the last one with Christopher Reeves?
Yeah.
And, you know, it would have been better to just, in my opinion, to have started over. And that's kind of what every superhero film has done since then instead, was like, oh, okay, well, we'll just start over, I guess. Because at this point, you know, you wait so long, the hype and momentum around the original series goes down some, and instead you've got to catch it when it's still hyped and before it becomes nostalgic.
Yeah.
And they didn't. At that point, by the time they made this sequel to the Christopher Reeves Batman, or Batman, Superman, it had already gotten to the point where it was people who had seen it as kids were grown, and it had that class. It became a classic. It was people were nostalgic for it. They looked at it as a classic, and you don't mess with classics. So I think is, yeah, how it generally goes.
Yeah, and I don't even know if I really necessarily liked Kevin Spacey as Lex Luthor. Like, I love Kevin Spacey. He's very talented, but.
I remember thinking he was my favorite part of the movie last time I saw it.
He had his moments, but he really wasn't sinister enough for me. And that's definitely something I would like to play more off of in this alternate, you know, story arc that I kind of developed. Just more of, like, what Lex Luthor would have done. I think that that's, you know, getting Superman's DNA, using, like, kryptonite and piece of the Fortress of Solitude to try and make a better Superman because... the real Superman abandoned Metropolis, you know, that was initially, like, his plan.
Yeah.
And seeing it go wrong and turn into something that is, like, his own worst enemy, killing Superman, that's something Lex Luthor would do. So, like, why not give, you know, give us a Lex Luthor that would do something like that? Yeah. I don't know. I'd like to see Henry Cavill as Superman turn into, like, the Superman we know and love. I feel like he's not at that point yet. And he should have, I don't know, I think he could have been in Man of Steel or even in Batman v Superman, but it was just like that dark tone in the movie kind of just covered every potential.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Good things that could have happened. Here's the thing you may not know. Chris Pratt actually auditioned for the role of Superman. I don't know if it was for Man of Steel or if it was for Superman Returns.
Wow.
My best guess is probably Man of Steel.
That's crazy.
It would have been really weird to see, because I feel like Chris Pratt is really only one character in everything, you know, and it's the same kind of character.
Yeah. Same, like, couple of characters, because I would say, like, if you took his character from Jurassic World and his character from Parks and Rec and smashed them together, you'd have Star-Lord.
Yes.
So it's a range, like, he's got... action star, he's got comedian, and then he's got, like, the merging of the two.
The action comedian.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It would be interesting, for sure. I'm definitely glad he's Star-Lord, for sure.
Oh, he's so good as...
He definitely has that role, you know. I wouldn't know much about Star-Lord if it weren't for him, and, like...
It's true.
He's one of my favorite superheroes, you know.
And, you know, you're really lucky when you get a character like that. I mean, we'll look at, say, RDJ, when the first Iron Man came out. Iron Man was... B-list comic hero at most. Yeah. He was not one of the big ones. And so he had a little bit more freedom to kind of make the character his own. And same thing with Star-Lord. He even less so. I mean, he was...
Guardians in general, you know.
Yeah, they were D-list, you know? And so getting to do Star-Lord, he had a lot more freedom to kind of make it his own however he wanted to. And... the director as well, James Gunn. Between the two of them, you know, they got to create that character and create what is the new quintessential version of that character. You know, when you're dealing with characters like Batman or Spider-Man, you know, there's so many other versions and people are so familiar with them, it's hard to... You're never going to create the version that is going to be the version for everyone so universally. But when you have a character like Star-Lord, you can do that for pretty much everyone. You say Star-Lord, they think Chris Pratt. Whereas if you say, oh, Batman, my mother goes, oh, Michael Keaton. And, you know, her mother probably thinks Adam West. And I'm training myself to think Ben Affleck now. But
me too.
Christian Bale.
And, yeah. For a long time, it was Val Kilmer, I'll be honest. Because I had a VHS tape of Batman Forever, and I watched that so much. The reason being, as like a small child, and I mean small, like up to like 5-6 years of age, Batman and Batman Returns kind of scared me a little bit. Especially Batman Returns. Like, Danny DeVito's Penguin was terrifying to me as a child.
I agree.
Like, there's a scene where he's eating a fish or something, I think.
Oh, yeah.
And that scene, like, just I couldn't handle that as a kid. So I couldn't handle the Michael Keaton Batmans.
I was the same with Jack Nicholson as the Joker in the 89 Batman. That was terrifying for me.
Yeah, awesome. they were a little dark for me when I was really little. Once I got a little bigger, I was like, oh, wow, eight-ish, I realized that they were much superior to Batman Forever. But as a small child, I had an affinity for Val Kilmer's Batman. But anyway, point being, we got way off topic there.
Yeah.
Chris Pratt is Star-Lord, yes, and he's great.
Hey, that's okay.
It's great.
It's okay. I can definitely say he was definitely my favorite part of this new one.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say too much because we will talk about it. But
oh, yes.
I definitely think he is one of the characters that holds this new one together. Still forming my opinion around it. I did like it, but I'm not sure if I liked it more than the first one. So Taz and Darby will see it, and then I will see it again, and we will discuss it. And hopefully you will see it too.
Did you hear what Trump had to say about that?
No.
What did he say?
Nope.
Nope.
Not better than the first one.
Not a fan. Not a fan, to be honest.
Fantastic.
Fantastic.
Woo! Well, I guess one other thing we should definitely talk about before we get out of here is the Defenders trailer.
Oh my gosh, yes.
We should have led with that.
Jeez. Oh, we could also talk about Last Jedi as well. Yeah, I don't think we've discussed Last Jedi.
Oh, I don't think I've watched the trailer yet.
Oh my God.
I was trying to wait till I got home. I could watch it on like the TV and not my phone.
Yeah.
And I just totally forgot. I've been so busy.
Okay. Well, let's talk about Defenders, and we'll figure that other part out later.
Yeah, yeah. I watched the Defenders trailer so many times.
Oh man.
Darby was in the shower, and I was just sitting there like on repeat, just like.
I woke up to a text the other day, and Steven had sent it to me, and I was so excited. I was like, "Oh God!" Like that's the first thing I did when I woke up. I'm in love with everything I saw from the movie or trailer.
Oh yes.
And I love the Nirvana.
I love my life.
I love the Nirvana song choice, and everything that they showed in the trailer was perfect. I'm very excited for this, ensemble of characters to share the screen for 13 episodes. Hopefully it's 13 episodes, I'm guessing, but I don't know.
Yeah, it's a mini series, I know.
Aren't they? Aren't
I think it's 13? Only. No, I think it's only six.
No,
that's
six or nine or something.
I'll bargain for eight. Oh, nine. You said nine first.
Nine's great.
If I say eight, then it sounds like I'm.
As if I get to speak for Netflix. No. Taz said you were doing nine episodes. Screw you. Where are my other three episodes, Netflix?
I hope it's nine. Or
yeah,
eight.
I do know it's. I know it's a mini series, and that it's going to be less than the regular series.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Either way, it's great. Let's talk about some of the highlights. Taz, you've seen it more, so you probably remember it a little bit better than I do.
Oh man. Okay. For me, of course, Daredevil is my favorite out of all of them, hands down. And just that moment at the trailer opens and we're seeing Jessica being Jessica and getting in trouble with her hot-headed antics, like I'm just gonna go investigate and do this thing and burp, 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 and it got her in trouble. And she's being interviewed by Misty Knight,
which is
a fun little crossover there.
Like that.
And then we get Matt's entrance of just, busting the door. Jessica Jones, stop talking. And she's all pissed off and, introduces himself. And, such a good entrance. I love Daredevil. That was fun.
Who's your top choice, Defender Darby?
Probably Daredevil. Just because he's, the best one.
Yeah,
his fight scenes are really awesome.
Yeah, Charlie Cox is hands down the best.
Yeah.
And we have had the longest to get attached to him.
Yeah, we've got two seasons.
We've had two seasons, and he's the one who kind of kicked it all off. He's like the Iron Man of the Netflix shows.
That's true.
And Danny Rand is like the stepchild that just got introduced into the family, so everyone's just like, I don't know if I like him.
I don't know, this one's weird.
Luke Cage, you can't help but love him.
Right, and Luke,
Jessica,
I do love
Jessica him. Jessica Jones, you're like, I'll talk to you at reunions, but I won't talk to you at holidays, but I won't talk to you any other time.
I've talked before on the show how I wasn't a huge fan of Jessica Jones. That being said, I feel like she's on the path to me enjoying her more in this show.
I hope so. Yeah, it definitely looks
like
it.
That's what I talked about. Yeah, I think the big issue I've had with her wasn't even her, because she did fine. I liked what she was doing. The show was just very slow and kind of dull, and it was a cop show. It wasn't a superhero show. Yeah. You know, I've said that before. And this is her, is going to be more of a superhero show, I'm guessing. It being all four of them, there'll be more action, more superhero antics, mixed with some investigation, which I love, because you know, I love Batman stuff. And I feel like a lot of Batman stuff doesn't have enough investigation in it, because they forget he is the world's greatest detective. Sorry. Side rant.
Do you like Marvel or DC, Taz?
Sorry, hit my stand. Anyway, so I think she's on a path of redemption for me at the moment.
I'd like to see that for her.
Yeah. And
I don't like the actress. Her in the Bee in Apartment 23.
Oh my god. That show was cute, wonderful. Was, and she was so hilarious.
She's John Ritter's daughter, man. So
is she? I don't think they're related.
Oh, they're not. That would bum me out if they weren't actually.
Because I looked into it, because I'm related to John Ritter.
Really?
Yeah, distantly.
Things I did not know.
Not super. Honestly, not super distantly. His father, Tex Ritter, the country western singer, was my mother's grandmother's first cousin.
Hey, you're still related, man.
Hey.
So it's close enough that we can directly trace it. Like, it's not like if you go, way back down up the tree, it's like this woman that I knew closely was related closely to his father. So, that's
friend,
fun.
Friend of a friend of a friend.
Yeah.
Well,
your father's brother's nephew's former roommate. Cousin's nephew's former roommate.
I shouldn't
roommate,
act like I know who Jessica Jones is related to. Anyway. I'm at the point, I'm rewatching Breaking Bad, and I'm at the point where her character is in.
She in Breaking Bad?
Oh, yeah. Her character's name is Jane. She's Jesse's neighbor at one point, Jesse Pinkman.
Jane, you ignorant slut.
It's the show's about to get really crazy now.
If anyone's listening and worried about that was an SNL quote. That was not me. Just hating on
insulting
her character.
Jane, we apologize.
To anyone named Jane, take it up with Dan Aykroyd, not me.
But yeah, there's some really good moments in this trailer for sure. Come As You Are is in the background of the trailer.
And it was in the background of the teaser as well, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. I believe
probably.
So.
I don't remember watching the teaser, but...
Where it was just the voiceover and was peeling away the letters.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Just the little, barely a teaser.
It's been a long time.
Just had the voiceover from Stick, I believe.
Yeah, which we still get some dialogue from him in this one. We do see Elektra. And a sarcophagus type thing.
We see her briefly fighting as well in a new uniform.
Yeah, so the hand is
I believe it shows her kick Matt through a wall or something.
Oh, jeez.
A glass wall or something. Because there's a scene where he gets thrown through a glass wall, and I think she's the one who did it. I'm not sure.
Probably. It would make sense. But if I'm correct, I guess the hand is resurrecting her or
Yes. Well, yeah, I mean...
It's a vessel.
Well, yeah, she was the Black Storm or something. Black Lightning. No, not Black. I don't know. Something about a storm or darkness or... I don't remember. I haven't watched Daredevil Season 2 in a minute.
That's the Hell's Kitchen hand. And in Iron Fist, we got the Academy of the Hand and...
The Academy of the...
I mean, yeah, they had the prestigious school of enroll today in the Hand Academy. And hand models are probably is this the Academy for the Hand? And they're like, no, this is the Hand Academy.
Come to the Hand Academy. And
a truly great leader.
You'll become a truly great leader.
At the Hand Academy.
Not to be confused with the Foot Academy, as led by Master Shredder.
Ah, yes.
So yeah. If the hand and the foot started working together, they might be able to take over. I mean, let's be honest. The Foot Clan, the Hand, Shredder, and...
Would you have a Ninja Turtles and Defenders crossover?
That would be
great. Yes. That would be why would we not have a Ninja Turtles? Why has no one done this? Hold up.
You can't forget about the other academies, the Head and Shoulders Academy. Maybe some knees and toes. Eyes and ears and mouth and nose. Head, shoulders, knees and toes. These are important schools.
Nobody would be tougher on ISIS than Donald Trump.
Not what I wanted that to be at all, but...
Valedictorian of the Head, Shoulders, Knees, and Toes Academy.
No. Are we trying to get people to go to it?
I guess.
Well, I guess we're anti-hand and foot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All the Wrong Places is brought to you by the Donald Trump soundboard and the Head, Shoulders, Knees, and Toes Academy. Enroll today.
So, let's talk about some other highlights from the Defenders trailer real quick.
Yeah, probably. We probably should.
Yeah.
We see, I do think it's interesting that for the most part, most of what we see throughout it, there is definitely some, there are definitely a few shots that are all four of them together. But it seems to me like at least for the first couple episodes, probably, we're going to have two kind of simultaneous storylines going on that will then converge.
Yeah.
One focused on Matt and Jessica and one focused on Danny and Luke.
I'm very excited to see the Luke and Danny.
Oh, yeah, because they're supposed to be BFFs.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, in the comics.
They become the Heroes for Hire.
Heroes for Hire, the Iron Fist and Power Man / Luke Cage or whatever. That was the name of a title for a long time. Like, they shared a title for a while, so.
And that's kind of like what they were pulling off of from Luke Cage, which he was becoming a hero for hire.
Yeah, exactly.
So hopefully they'll merge that into their friendship, if they're friends, if anyone can like Danny.
I like Danny.
I like him. I'm just unsure.
Like
an
ugly puppy, like one of those sad things you find on the road.
Oh, no, I don't remember if we talked about it on an episode or not, but no, I loved how he did a wonderful job of portraying a 10-year-old child who was stunted emotionally.
Yeah,
yeah.
Like that's not an easy thing to get across, but he has these emotional issues that are kind of crazy. But, it all makes sense if this kid was taught to suppress his emotions and his trauma from a young age. He would have some psychological issues. But at the same time, he still approaches it with the naivety of a child. And it really is a good performance. It's very interesting when you start, looking at the choices he's making.
Yeah.
And, maybe I just appreciate it or like him a little more because I appreciate that. But... anyway, sidetracked again. But the interaction between Danny and Luke that I was going towards when Danny, of course, Iron Fist Luke in the face.
Yes.
And it's that awesome. It's like that recreated moment from last season of Luke Cage when the guy broke his hand on his face.
Yes.
It's like that exact same shot, but instead it's the Iron Fist.
Luke is receiving the Iron Fist.
And he's actually getting maybe not hurt, but he's at least feeling it. I mean, it knocks him aside, and he assumedly is gonna feel it.
Yeah,
which is great. I really liked that. I was watching some commentary or something. I don't remember where they're talking about, or somebody was talking about Danny getting, or maybe you brought it up where it was kind of people were talking about it was Danny kind of getting put in his place by Luke.
Yeah. There's an article I read,
and there's that scene where he tries to do something, and Luke just smacks him down.
Yeah.
Right before the Iron Fist shot.
That's probably what they were talking about directly.
Yeah. And which was fun, but I really appreciated Danny kind of putting Luke in his place with the Iron Fist.
Yeah.
Because Luke's kind of gotten real cocky and confident in his I can't be hurt, impenetrable skin thing. I think it's good for him to realize that there are people out there who can hurt him.
Maybe they're kind of playing. Yeah. Maybe they're kind of playing off of a Hulk and Thor relationship.
Yeah.
Because it's they're buddies, but they're also very competitive on who's stronger than the other,
Yeah.
Yeah.
I definitely think Luke could take Danny if it came down to it, because, he's only got,
Danny's
what?
Danny's 10.
Well, yeah, and he's only got, one or two Iron Fists in him tops at this point.
Yeah.
Before his chi is drained.
Which we don't know where he's coming from at when Defender starts, because, where we last saw Danny, he was back in Kung Lin, Kung Lao,
Kung Lin.
Pao, Kung Fu, I don't know. One of those places.
Something interesting we may get out of Defenders is a Daughters of the Dragon setup.
Because
we do see in the trailer that Misty and Colleen are both in it.
Ooh.
And this is a title that I know very little about, didn't know really anything about until after Iron Fist I started looking into it. Because the character of Colleen was, one of the best parts of that show. She was wonderful.
True. She was great.
She was my favorite, yeah.
Yeah, she was great. And so I started looking into it, and then, Daughters of the Dragon stuff popped up, and I was like, oh, okay, that would be cool. So maybe we'll see something of that, or at least some interaction between the two of them would be interesting.
Yeah,
so,
definitely.
And, yeah, I don't know. It's a fun setup, seeing all four of them together. And clearly we're seeing a fight, at least a little mini fight, between Danny and Luke. I would much rather see a fight between Danny and Matt, just because it'd be a little more fair.
Yeah.
It wouldn't maybe not be quite so one-sided, although I still feel like Matt would take it away fairly easily. Once it's hard to judge because the fight choreographies are so very different.
That's true.
And it, much better on Daredevil.
Just turns into like an arcade fight. Definitely. And like Jessica gets to control Matt, and then Luke is controlling Danny, and they're just like who has the best combos, you know, just like do that.
Better.
That's it. That's all. That's all you got, Trump.
Bigger, better, and stronger.
Oh, God.
Those three buttons.
Interrupting Trump says what? I'm interested to see the dynamics between Jessica and Matt, as well as how she's going to interact with Danny, because we already know that her and Luke have some history with each other.
But now Luke's getting coffee with Claire.
Yes.
Well, everybody's getting coffee with Claire.
Yeah. That's true. Now everyone in the Defenders knows Claire, so it's just like...
she's.
You were the friend I was talking to this friend about.
50% of them.
Yeah. It's going to be cool. And we even see a little bit of Sigourney Weaver, who is going to be the villain.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I'm excited about that.
Sigourney Weaver.
Yeah,
an original character. They're not pulling anything from the comics. She is original character designed specifically for this show.
Nice.
Awesome. Yeah.
Okay. Because I was just about to mention, I definitely have no knowledge of who she is, and that's probably...
What's her name? Alexandria? Or
probably. Alexandra. Or
Alexandra. Yeah. I think maybe. That's what it is. My niece's name. Oops. But
it's Ripley.
That would be even better if it just was Ripley. She got away from the xenomorphs, and now she's taking down Hell's Kitchen.
Her whole plot is to get them to work together, but it turns out they're all each other's worst enemy.
I am my own worst enemy.
And, yeah. Then they find out she is really actually a xenomorph inside the body.
Ooh, that would be a fun crossover. Just,
what? And that's the end of the miniseries. We never know what happens.
The end.
Yeah.
Just the end of the just MCU. End. Like, no more movies, no more TV shows, nothing. It's just done.
Cancel all of it.
Kevin Feige recently also said that he plans to cross over the MCU with the TV universe. So that will be really cool. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. just got confirmed for another season.
Still
not caught up on that show. So.
Oh, I still haven't ever even gotten past the pilot.
Yeah.
So.
I do plan on watching it all at some point. But
yeah, I would like to. I don't know.
You guys have anything else to add to this episode?
Talking about the Defenders trailer before we, jump off that and get out of here. I can't remember if it was on the live thing you did with Steven or if it was when we were just hanging out talking. But we're talking about Stick's appearance in Defenders, and you mentioned that he might be playing more of a Nick Fury kind of role.
Oh, really?
Well, I mean, you're the one who said it.
I don't. Maybe Steven said it.
No, it was you.
Is this really happening again? Did I say something I don't remember?
It was either on the live video or when we were just hanging out at my house later that day.
Probably that.
Maybe I don't remember. Anyway, but I thought it was you. Maybe it could have been Steven. I don't know. I'll give you the benefit of the doubt,
I guess.
I'll
take credit.
But
makes me sound smart.
Talking about, we might see him being kind of the one who's bringing them together and kind of organizing them against the hand or whatever in this.
I'm really just confused on his motives. Like, after season two, like, I was like, I thought you were a good guy, but you're kind of an a-hole.
I think he's just like, I don't know. I feel like he might get along with the Punisher.
Yeah, I think he'd get along with him.
I think they'd be great where it's just, you're like, we got to kill the hand. Okay. And they just start murdering hand ninjas. And it'd be great. So maybe he'll be playing that role. Kind of organizing, setting the team up, getting them going.
Yeah.
Was it? Oh, and in... No, the video that I watched that I mentioned earlier, that I remember it was Nerdist. That's where it was from. Where they're talking about the trailer and stuff.
Yeah.
and they mentioned, they were talking about there's got to be something that kind of brings them together as a team and sparks them to, like, fight or whatever. And they're predicting, of course, a death, you know, as is typical in hero things. And their prediction was Claire.
Ooh.
Yeah.
She has been very involved in all these Netflix series. I would definitely
That's what they brought up, was that she was the only one with enough of a connection to everyone for it to be
emotional. For it to make sense on why they'd all come together.
I mean, because there's not another character that really crossed over between all of them.
Yeah.
I mean,
Not really.
No.
Hogarth is in, what, 2 out of 4?
Yeah.
I think that's, like, the next closest we've got.
Yeah, I mean, Stick, but he...
See, and that's where I was going with that next, was, you know, if not Claire, quite like if Stick is the one who gets them together and kind of organizes them against going. Because they brought it up as, like, the Coulson thing, like, you know.
Yeah, that, I was about to say, that seems like a Marvel thing to do.
But yeah, absolutely.
If they kill him, then we can't get our spinoff, Frank and Stick, their buddy cop partnership, where all they do is fight the hand.
Oh, yes.
But it's spelled that's Frank great. In...
Frank and Stick. Yes.
Frank and Stick.
Oh, my God.
That's awesome. Dun, Frank and Stick.
The Adventures of Frank and Stick. It's just... But Stick always drives.
Yes.
Yes.
Frank Castle's like, I'm not driving. He's like, oh, fine.
I gotta keep my hands off the wheel so I can shoot.
Yes.
Stick's got his stick out the window tapping as he's driving.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my god.
That's horrible.
Oh, it's so good. So good. That's the crossover with the Ninja Turtles right there. There it is. Stick and Splinter are staying across from each other, and they're just like, I don't see a difference. They are literally the same person. But one is a human version of the other.
And one's blind.
Yeah, and blind.
And blind.
But is it Tony Shalhoub Splinter, though?
Yeah, I hope so.
Yes.
I actually kind of like him as Splinter.
He wasn't terrible. I wasn't crazy about the animation. His voice is fine. Voice work and everything's fine. Yeah. I haven't seen the second one.
It's missing.
I don't know.
It's worth missing.
I was such a fan of the original Ninja Turtles growing up, though. At least, especially the first two, but... That's a subject for a whole other podcast.
Yeah, that's true.
But no, I do. I think it would be interesting, you know, if Stick is the one that gets them all together and organizes them and starts them on their path of defending. He might be the one that gets killed. That kind of prompts him to be like, oh, we're really a team. And we got to, like, do stuff. It'll be a thing where he gets them together and they're a team, but they're not really fighting together and they're somebody... They do something, don't work together, and it screws up, and Stick gets killed because of it, and that's why they feel guilty. And
what if you just
that could happen with Claire too?
Yeah. But yeah, the exact same thing.
It'd be more painful for everyone.
I agree. I don't know if they. I just don't know if they would. I don't know if they'd kill Claire.
I just want to see Stick like fake his own death. Like he's just like, I brought you here for a reason. Just remember what you're doing this for. And then he just like throws a smoke pellet, and then like. Throws in like a fake body. He just plans out his own funeral and everything. And then when they're all struggling to fight the main bad guy, him and Frank just roll in and just take him out. And there's like,
and now they're beating us economically. They are not our friend.
They come in and they save the day, and everyone's like, what? I thought you were dead. And he was like, yeah, exactly. I had to bring you guys together for a reason. Like, he could say the same thing that Coulson says.
It can happen.
Oh, man.
Yes.
Be pretty great, though.
That's what I'm talking about.
Or even better, Coulson just comes and organizes the team and then gets killed again.
And then when the Defenders meet the Avengers, Coulson is like, hey, I want to introduce you guys to my friends. And they're like, wait, what? You've been alive this entire time?
Our country needs...
You could say... The Avengers would be pissed. They'd be like, you guys have been alive this entire time. You've been alive this entire time just so you could form another group of heroes and do the same thing you did to us. Like, you let us down.
You son of a... Oh, that'd be great. All right, that's everything I got on Defenders.
Yeah, I feel you. So this episode's been more of like a what-if type of episode.
Yeah.
Just talking about things that could be that aren't, I guess, besides the Defenders, because that is a thing that's happening. And Trump being president is a thing that does happen. Wasn't sure if he was going to say anything about that. I was just waiting for that.
What was he going to say about this? Anything else we want to mention on this episode before we get out of here?
Not that I can think of. Next episode, we will actually probably jump into the... Or a episode in the future, we will jump into dissecting the Netflix series Before the Defenders comes out.
Yes, absolutely.
And we'll have some more misadventures of Porkins, Supreme Lord Snokins, the Great.
Yeah, you got to add the dot, dot, dot. The yep. Great.
The Great. So, this has been another episode of All Around Places. Be sure to check out our new episode and keep your eyes out. We might be doing another live video at some point. I'm Tyler.
I'm Taz.
I'm Darby.
See you next
President
time,
President Trump.
We'll see you next time.
Oh, gosh. Thank you.